Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Breaking news. In the month of November, which is the last month they have statistics for, a record 4.5 million Americans quit their job. Let's check out this article from CNN and try to figure out why and what it means for the economy going into 2022. Headline. Just as I said, record 4.5 million Americans quit their job in the month of November. So the first thing I wanted to point out is kind of something they're saying subtly. They're just mentioning it, but they don't elaborate on this. And I think they're avoiding discussing this in detail for a specific reason. You'll see what I'm talking about here in a moment. Workers were most likely to quit their jobs in the hospitality industry, okay, which had by far the highest quit rate at 6.1%, as well as those in healthcare. So you notice how they don't give us a number for those in healthcare, and it's kind of ambiguous. Does that mean that the hospitality group includes those people in healthcare? Is that a separate metric? If so, What is the number for those in healthcare? The numbers in transportation, warehousing, and utilities also increased. So that would lead me to believe that the highest quit rate was in hospitality at 6.1, and then healthcare was probably second, although they don't give us the number, and then followed by transportation, warehousing, and utilities. So why is this such an important data point? Well, because one of the main pushbacks you get for the mandates is about capacity issues. And you guys know the capacity issues I'm referring to specifically there in healthcare. And there's two variables there. It's kind of like supply and demand, you're like with economics. And the two variables, one is obviously the capacity with the healthcare system, let's say. But within that is also the amount of people that are available to work. You could have all the, let's say, ICU beds that you could ever want. But if you've got no one there to work, then effectively those ICU beds are completely useless. Because I don't think the person who needs the ICU bed is going to be able to operate it by themselves. I don't think that's saying anything outlandish. So let's think this through. What the administration did, what was this, 2 months ago? They were very proud of the fact that they were trying to get businesses in the healthcare business to fire those people who were dissident and that were so selfish that they refused to get the medicine because they believed the risk reward didn't make a lot of sense or made zero sense for them. And they were just exercising their freedom of choice. But that freedom of choice came with a consequence, and that is they either had to quit or they were fired. Okay, got it. So what does that do to the amount of workers in the healthcare system? I mean, it reduces it, which is what we're seeing right here in the numbers. And if you reduce the amount of workers in the healthcare system, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, but that would reduce the capacity, wouldn't it? Ah, yes, it would. Wow, yeah. So they're reducing the capacity. The exact issue they're referencing when they're talking in favor of the mandates themselves. So this is just another example of how the people that have that position, they really haven't thought this through, which is on par with many of their views regarding not just the cervasa sickness, but with economics in general. Let's keep going down the list or the article. So the high quits, symptom of tight labor market where workers can quickly find new potentially job better. Okay, yeah, I can buy that. I mean, I definitely think that's something that is a factor. The November data released Tuesday doesn't yet factor in the arrival of the scariant, which pushed, and put many workers at risk. Yeah, but again, CNN, you know, what's weird is they just live in this echo chamber. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're not trying to push a narrative here. And they just live in this echo chamber where they themselves and all their friends and all the people they associate with are hyper concerned with the cerveza sickness. I mean, it's at the minute they wake up in the morning to the minute they go to bed, their number one priority is how do I protect myself against the cerveza sickness? They have been living in fear. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but this is just the facts. They've been living in fear for the last 2 years. So this is all they know. And all of their friends behave the same way. So for them, I don't think it's a stretch for them to look around. Everyone is like this. So, well, that everyone in the United States has to be like this as well. And if I'm super scared to go into work and all my friends are super scared to go into work, well, that just means that everyone in the United States is also scared to go into work. So this must be why so many people are quitting. See, the problem with this line of thinking, or maybe better said feeling, is that they're living in this bubble where they are a minority. And they don't realize, because they've never traveled to, they haven't gone to Florida lately, they haven't gone to Texas, they haven't gone to Arizona. Why would they? Because those states are where all the crazies live, according to them. That's where all the selfish people that just try to make up some stupid excuse like freedom and liberty. That's where they all want to go. So I want nothing to do with that, because I don't want to go down there and subject myself to all that risk and danger. So I'm going to stay right here, locked in with all of my friends who value safety. You see, so they don't get outside of that bubble. So they, in their world, in their imagination, if you were to go down to Florida, I mean, it's just complete chaos. I'm saying this is their imagination. You know, you've got dead people lying everywhere. You've got the capacity issues at hospitals. You know, everyone is being denied service because they can't get into just take care of their broken leg because they don't have any capacity. It's just nightmare after nightmare after nightmare situation. This is truly how they perceive these states where they haven't traveled to actually see with their own eyes. Wait a minute here. I'm coming to Florida and I thought there would be dead people everywhere, but interesting. I don't see any dead people. You see, and then you have this cognitive dissonance type thing. But just giving them the benefit of the doubt, I think this is why they always come to this conclusion that the reason, or one of the main reasons, that people are quitting their job or not going back to the workplace is because they're scared. And they're just taking their own insecurities and projecting it on the entire American society. But I've seen this happen many times before. You know, one of the first times I realized or I saw this happening was with BlackBerry. You guys remember the BlackBerry phones? And I remember just, I was traveling this prior to retiring. I was traveling around the entire United States and I was doing a lot of presentations and whatnot, and just, you know, with the one of the businesses I had. And every single person I saw just walking out on the streets, or my employees or my family, they all had an iPhone. Every single person. And everyone I saw, I mean, nobody was using BlackBerries anymore. And I noticed the share price for BlackBerry was still relatively high. I thought, how can anybody be buying this? And then I remember one day I tuned into like CNBC or something like that, or I went to New York. I think I might have gone to New York. And I went down to an area by the stock exchange, or I saw it on TV. It was something like that. And I noticed every single person was using a BlackBerry. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like this epiphany moment. I'm like, that's why. Because the people that are controlling these large pools of capital, they're thinking BlackBerry is a value stock because everyone around them is using a BlackBerry. And so they think they're extrapolating that out into the entire United States. But if they were just go travel, they'd see that they're the only ones. And they're a small minority. And sure enough, what happened to the shares of BlackBerry? They plummeted. You guys know the rest of the story. But I think it's the same psychological phenomenon with the mainstream media. Again, giving them the benefit of the doubt, assuming that they're trying to be as honest as they can, and they're not trying to push some sort of political agenda or narrative.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
So then they go on to say, case in point, UCLA Labor Center said in a report also published Tuesday that nearly a quarter of the fast food workers in LA had the cervical sickness in the last 18 months. Less than half of them have been notified by their employer and have potentially been exposed. This makes absolutely no sense. I'm not disputing the data, but I'm saying in the context of the argument they're trying to make, like, what? They're trying to say that a lot of these people aren't going back to work because of the scariant, and the case in point is because so many people have had the scariant in LA. And that somehow means that they're super, super scared now to go back to work because they were not, who knows if they got it at work, but they were subjected to potentially contracting it at work. This just, again, you're just making this giant leap of faith, and this is total speculation. And I would argue probably more of those people are like, hey, listen, I had the cervical sickness in the past, so I don't care. I'll go back to work. Again, I don't want to try to get in their head like CNN is doing, but there's just no way that I'm going to believe that the majority of the people that aren't going back to work are going back, are not doing so because of the scariant, especially in these states outside of California, New York. So then they conclude by saying people who quit are taking other jobs, not leaving workforce, said Heidi Scherholz, chief economist at the Economic Policy Institute, in a tweet Tuesday. On net, the labor market is gaining a ton of jobs every month. Yeah, I love it when people say that, because it's like we can lose a million jobs because of the government's response to the cervical sickness. And then we have, and I'm just using this as an example, and then we have, so let's just say we go from a million jobs down to zero jobs. Let's say there was a million jobs in the United States to begin with. We go down to zero jobs, and then we, let's say, gain 50,000 jobs a month for 2 months. And then this person, Heidi, is saying, well, you know, the labor market is gaining a ton of jobs every month. Okay. Yeah, we're up to 100,000 jobs. That's great. But we're starting from a million. So I don't know. That's kind of a spin on it to try to make it look like the world is, or trying to see the world through rose-colored glasses. It's trying to spin it to make it seem as though it's good, when in reality, it's not anything that should be argued for the economy being more structurally sound. It should be the opposite. So we'll go ahead and leave it there, guys. That's what's happening with CNN and the job market. And another thing that, oh, that's right. What I wanted to point out is she's implying that that a lot of people are taking all of these jobs. So they're just going from one job to the next job. But let's think about this. So you've got all these people that are quitting. Okay. And according to her, they're just going right into other jobs. And she's ignoring the fact that labor force participation, although it's gone up recently, has gone down quite significantly. So what we have here is an environment where hundreds of thousands of small and mid-sized businesses were completely wiped out in 2020. They're gone. They're done. They're not coming back. Now, it is true that we've created some businesses, but nowhere near as many as we lost, right? So let's try to take it to an extreme to make it easy to think about. Let's say we started with 100,000 businesses in 2019, and today we have 50,000 businesses. Okay, well, is it possible for the labor market to get back to where it was? No, because there's not enough businesses that exist, right? So it's not just as easy as, well, people are choosing not to go back to work because of the scariant. It's more so, okay, let's look at this, and there's not as many jobs as there were before, although we have a ton of job openings. So if we have a ton of job openings, but we have a lot fewer businesses, my point there is that on net balance, my guess is we have a lot fewer jobs. Okay, so how is it that this isn't affecting demand? So there, you got to look at the stimulus checks. You have to look at the, people didn't have to pay rent. People didn't have to pay their mortgage, the child tax credit. We have to look at all of these ways in which people increased their purchasing power without having to produce. And in my opinion, this will continue into the future. And then the third thing there, we have to look at asset prices. I mean, think about how many people have retired and therefore are not going back into the workplace. They retired early. Why can they do this? Because look at the difference in the stock market from March of 2020 to today. I mean, it's gone absolutely parabolic. Look at what has happened to home prices. Same exact thing. So do you really think that if the stock market and if the housing market was at the same level that it was, let's just even say at the end of 2019, that we would have all these people that would choose not to go back into the workforce? And if they did, and we had half the amount of businesses that we had in 2019 because of the government's response to the surveillance sickness, what would happen to the unemployment rate? It would be absolutely huge. And therefore, that's the way we need to measure the health of the overall economy. We need to measure it in the amount of people working and the amount of businesses. But what does this really go back to? You've got to measure wealth by society's ability to produce goods and services and the quantity of goods and services efficiently. And I don't think anything illustrates that. This article is one of those things that illustrates that extremely well. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you're always standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and we'll see you on the next video.